Well, Michael Blowen is now with me to kick off the second half of the program. Michael, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great to have you on the program again and hear your voice. And, you know, I referenced at the top of the show when I was talking about Green Mountain, there is so much history there going all the way back to right after Lou Smith bought the place. Of course, the owner of Rockingham Park, he founded it and ran thoroughbreds there for the first time in 1963. But in 1968, Green Mountain became the first track on the East Coast to host Sunday racing. And that was just the start of the history that that track would make.
Yeah, Lou Smith was a great guy. I got to know him towards the end of his reign at Rockingham Park, and Lou was just the greatest guy. And, you know, Green Mountain was such a beautiful little track. It was, you know, when you called and asked me to be on, I started thinking about it. When I was a kid growing up, there were 17 thoroughbred racetracks in New England, including Great Barrington and Green Mountain and the Three County Fair and all those tracks, along with Suffolk and Rockingham and Narragansett and all those. There were 17 of them, and now there are none. Zero.
Yeah, it's,
zero
it's
New
hard
England
to believe,
racetracks.
Isn't it?
It's hard to believe. But Green Mountain, for anybody who's ever driven by there, even when it was abandoned and the whole place was falling down, it's such a beautiful, beautiful location. I mean, it was such a gorgeous little place. And the only thing I can add to what everybody, Mike Welch has written and a lot of other people have written that worked at Green Mountain, it reminded me of Pete Coolis when I was listening to the program earlier. You know, Pete used to go there and he was really a great guy. And Pete was a marvelous man. And I know he loved Green Mountain, but it was such a gorgeous setting. It sat at the bottom of the mountains, the Green Mountains there. And one personal recollection that I have is I didn't really get involved with racing until after Green Mountain had closed. And every year when we drove back from Saratoga after opening week at Saratoga, Diane and I would go by and we'd drive the back way home instead of taking the Massachusetts Turnpike and always go by Green Mountain Park. And every year it was looking a little more desperate, a little more desperate, a little more desperate. Well, in the late 90s, I think it was 99 or 2000, Howard Dean was still governor of Vermont, and they wanted to have simulcasting at Green Mountain Park, put it in a nice restaurant and have simulcasting. So a friend of mine and a group of people put together a plan to have live racing at Green Mountain the weekend before Saratoga opened and the weekend after Saratoga closed. So people on their way to Saratoga or back from Saratoga would have the opportunity to do this. And the concept was we would have green racing. You know, no drugs, no whips, only race it on the grass and make it into a 6-day, you know, really cool little meet. And then Vermont could have simulcasting and they could open up the restaurant all year round and do all that kind of a thing. And we pretty much had the deal put together, but at the end, the price kept going up. Every time we turned around and we thought we had made arrangements to purchase the track, the price kept going up until it got out of sight, and then that was the end of our involvement with it. And I don't know how many people tried to open it up since then, but that was we came pretty close. Howard Dean really wanted to do it.
Yeah. It's sad that that didn't come together, Michael. I know that there were many attempts over the years since Green Mountain had closed in the early 90s to try to revitalize the racetrack, and people looked at getting involved. And it just, for whatever reason, one reason or another, it never materialized. But, you know, going back to its heyday, back after the Rooney family took over, which was right around 1973, I guess. And, of course, people will know the Rooneys as the owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They bought the track. They've been very involved with not just Green Mountain, but with several racetracks in the country. And so many people that I've talked to over the years that have worked at Green Mountain couldn't say enough good things about that family and the efforts that they made to make racing successful at that track and all the other tracks.
No, I totally agree. I mean, when they talk about what's happening with racing now, oftentimes people don't mention that. But the people that ran racing, you know, when Suffolk was in his heyday and when Rockingham was in his heyday, really loved racing. And, you know, there's the Rooney family and the Galbraiths, and you can go on and on and on. But they were really dedicated to racing. And now there's a lot of absentee ownership, and, you know, there's not the personal attachment where, you know, when you used to walk around places like Green Mountain and even Great Barrington, the people that own the track would be in the backstretch every morning, walking around, talking to the trainers, how's your horse, how are you? You know, they know the family, you know, they've been coming back for years. And a lot of people in New England in particular, I think, thought of these places as almost like a summer camp for adults, where people could get away from the city and take their vacations and go to Green Mountain and Great Barrington and all the little tracks and the little places where, you know, most of the people that were there really adored the sport. Yeah. We miss that a lot, and I think it's starting to hit home that these smaller tracks are beginning to evaporate at an even higher rate, and we've got to do something to help them, because I think the county fairs and the little tracks are extremely important to the overall health of the sport.
Speaking of helping the industry, I'm visiting, by the way, with Michael Blowen from Old Friends Retirement Center here in Kentucky. And, Michael, you have done yeoman's work over the years to help the sport and to help horses that have competed in our sport at a high level, and even some that have not competed at a high level, but you have taken them in with open arms at Old Friends. Give me an update on what's happening at Old Friends right now.
Well, it's been really great. We're very grateful to John Hendrickson and the estate of Mary Lou Whitney. They just retired Birdstone to us, and he's here now. We picked up the Pizza Man and Work All Week recently. Stormy Liberal and Patch, I mean, it being National Pirate Day, I had to mention Patch, are doing really well together. And we just made a really nice arrangement with LNJ Foxwoods to be kind of their official home for retiring their broodmares. And they just delivered two broodmares to us. They paid for the construction of a new paddock and running shed and waters. It looks really nice. And the first two broodmares were delivered here last week. So, and one of them is a really amazing horse. Her name is Mystery Trip. And she was the last foal by Weekend Surprise, who everybody probably knows, one of the greatest broodmares in history, with babies like AP Indy. And I'm hoping that, you know, there may be more organizations and more partnerships and more owners that would think about what happens to these horses once they're done racing and breeding, and make some provisions, because I think it makes for a lot of fun. And, you know, except for the virus now, which has cut down a lot, and we've limited our tours now, you know, when we reopen safely, it'll be really nice to see all the people coming back and seeing all these horses. You know, I still have a horse I had who won races for us at Great Barrington. I claimed him in 1999. His name's Summer Attraction. He's still here with me. So,
wow.
So aside from the Travers winners and the Belmont winners and Silver Charms doing well, our Derby winner, aside from those, you're right, Mike, we do have a lot of horses that didn't win big grade one stakes races, but they deserve a dignified retirement as well.
How about my old friend Zippy Chippy? Is he still around?
Yeah, Zippy Chippy is at our farm up in Saratoga. We have a division up in Saratoga that's run by Joanne Pepper, who does a marvelous job up there. And Zippy Chippy's up there. I think Zippy just turned like 28, something like that. But Zippy, of course, was the big star of the fairs because he could never win a race. And believe it or not, that was the hardest negotiation I ever had, to try and get a horse to Old Friends. Felix, we used to take him to used car lots after his racing career was over for like a couple hundred bucks, and he and Zippy would stand around the used car lot in Western Massachusetts, and he'd be the celebrity guest, so people would be drawn into my used cars. So Felix was not interested in giving it up too early, but eventually it worked out well, and he's doing really great up there with Joanne and all her wonderful crews outside Saratoga.
Yeah, it's great to hear. According to Wikipedia, his official race record was 0 for 100 with 8 seconds and 12 thirds. He earned about $30,000 in his career, but he would race against like minor league baseball players too. He would show up as a stunt there, and he would race against and was beaten by a human being, by a major league baseball player, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes, eventually he was.
Yeah.
He raced, I think they didn't start the same distance. They gave the baseball player a big head start, but I'm trying to remember his name. His name was McDonald, and he eventually played for the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yeah, Jose Herrera, I think, is according to the Wikipedia article I'm reading here, I think it was Jose Herrera in Rochester, New York, actually, and he beat Zippy that day. And I can, Mike, I'll tell you real quick before I let you go, my claim to fame was Zippy Chippy, and I think we can go back and look this up. I was handicapping the races, and I was going through the racing form, and I saw the name Zippy Chippy. He was going to make his debut, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he was firing bullets for his debut. And I said, man, this horse looks like he can really run. I like Zippy Chippy on top in this race. Just to show you what kind of handicapper I am, he goes 0 for 100.
You're not the only one, because when we make glasses with the horses' names on them, we list their accomplishments, but we couldn't list any of the Zippies because he was 0 for 100. And so I went back, and we ended up listing the names of all 26 jockeys that rode him. And he went from Mike Smith and Richard Migliori all the way down to who and who and who, you know? And so that's all 26 names are on the glass, and nobody could get him to win one race. But his motto is good, Mike. His motto is winners don't always finish first.
There you go. I love that.
Case of Zippy Chippy. I mean, there's a wonderful book that they wrote about, that a guy in Canada wrote about Zippy. I mean, he's famous. People come from all over the country to see him. So maybe this is the apex now. He's a tourist attraction, and he's raising a lot of money up at Cabin Creek, up at Durant's old friends, and maybe that's what he was always meant to do, be a silent superstar.
Good for him. And people can go to oldfriendsequine.org if they want to see all of the horses at Old Friends. There are so many of them, so many of the names that you've become familiar with and fallen in love with over the years. Oldfriendsequine.org. Of course, you can support Old Friends. Michael, it's not why I brought you on. This wasn't a stunt to raise money for Old Friends. I wanted to look back on Green Mountain, but we encourage everybody, if they're going to do something, they want to make a donation, why not? Old Friends, a wonderful organization, and you get all the credit in the world, my friend, for bringing these horses home and giving them a home after they're done racing. So well done, and can't wait for things to get back to normal so we can get out there and see them again.
Can't wait to see you again, Mike. Thanks so much.